I know it's Father's Day, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. So I'm going to ask just all our dads, would you stand up? And we just want to say we love you. Balcony, yeah. Congratulations for being a dad. And we just bless you today. And at the very end, I'm going to pray over you. And it'll be a good thing. A couple of things I want to bring your attention. One is we've been kind of working through all this social distancing, how people are coming back, when are people coming back. We're just processing through all of that. I know Father's Day, we're probably down a little. That's just kind of typical, but it's trying to find a balance. But some of the things that we're relaunching this week is our youth will be meeting again. So Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, they'll be the only ones in the building. And they'll be meeting on the south end down there where they normally meet. But we're trying to kind of figure out how many things we can have. And we're kind of limiting over the summer. So youth will be the only ones meeting on Wednesday. Celebrate Recovery is still meeting on Thursdays. Then you got Zumba on Saturday mornings. And they got two levels of Zumba, I think. So it starts at 9 and then one at 10. Is that right? And which is the harder one? First one's Tony with weights, and number two is cardioid. Both of them don't hit me at all. I'm like, I don't want to do anything with weights, and I sure don't want my heart to burst. So anyway, those are some of the activities that are happening during the midweek. Our children's program for the summer, we're not going to have Wednesday night. We're still working through when Sunday mornings that we'll go back to some children's. We're processing how we can do that and when you're comfortable as well. Some of you are like, I'm comfortable now. You can take my kid now. But kids are a little harder to say, how do we social distance them? So we just want to keep them with families right now. And so thank you for that. Last week, we encountered something, and we're processing through it, and so we've kind of made a decision as we move forward. In first service last week, we had 110 people, and then in second service, we had 176. When I do the numbers, and that still leaves about 200 people haven't shown up yet. Now, some of you I saw are back this week, and then others are out, and I know summer vacation and all of that. But it's hard for us to grow, or it's hard to allow other people to come back with the social distancing. So we've made a decision that's going to create some extra work, but we are adding a third service. We are going to have our 9 o'clock service. All of you went, oh, you're going to ruin my service. The 10:30 is going to be the second service, but we're adding another service at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So for those of you who don't attend first service, I'm assuming you like to sleep in. This way we can kind of grow and we can allow more people to kind of come for a season. And so you can get up late, have lunch, and then come to church and you won't have to worry about getting out for lunch. How about that? What a deal. So anyway, 2 o'clock, so help me out. There will be a 9 o'clock service, a 10:30 service, and a 2 p.m. service on Sundays. So we're going to run that for a season as we're walking through this. I don't know. Anybody going to come to 2 o'clock? I'm just curious. Look at there. Young people, right? It's like, yeah, that's my kind of service. So anyway, we're going to kind of just figure it out as we go, and that'll start next Sunday. So next Sunday, we're working through that. In fact, in lieu of offering, we got to get somebody assigned to take care of the offering. There's just stuff like that that we've got to take care of. The offering right now is at the doors. There are and upstairs. There's a place for you to drop your gifts to the Lord and continue to be faithful in that way. And we'll just kind of keep working through it. So those are some of the things that are happening. How many had a donut on your way in? Okay? Many of you said, well, I already ate. Well, eat again. I mean, it's a crispy donut. Once you eat it, it doesn't take up more space than that, you know? And he's like, I'm a health nut. I can't eat that stuff. Yes, you can. You just have to do a little more healthy stuff. That's all you got to do. Health people ought to be able to eat it better than others, right? So anyway, I believe we've got some donuts left. I haven't heard how many. But on your way out, if you see a box of donuts, they're yours, all right? So you claim it and go after it, and it's going to be great. Amen. We launched also in first service for the first time. We launched our live Facebook, and we're still working on that and processing through that. So we went live at 9:30, so that service has a little different dynamic as we launch into that. So a lot of exciting things happening, and so keep abreast. And this week I'll put it on Facebook about our service times and youth and all of that, and keeping up with what's going on. Today, we're in the third week of our four-week message. We'll wrap it up next week, called Friendship. And for the third week in a row, let me make this statement again. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. The bottom line is you're going to become like those you spend the most time with. You hang out with people, you become like them. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise and become what?
Wise.
Associate with fools and what? How many have ever done that second half? Probably the rest of you are lying. I know you are. I know you've done something foolish at some point. If you begin to hang around those who are passionate for God, positive and faith-filled, you're going to become more positive and faith-filled and passionate about God. On the other hand, if you hang out with people who are negative, critical in their spirit and attitude, you're going to get pulled down to that, and you're going to end up in trouble with somebody because of your negative, critical spirit. It happens. Last week, I talked to you about three types of friends that you need in your lives. And I would encourage you, if you didn't hear it, go back online and catch that. But today I want to talk to you about a community of friends that you need. Church, we need a group of friends in our lives. One of those key communities or groups needs to be those that are called committed believers. People you do life with who know Jesus like you know him. When we, the church, were working, of course, through the stay-at-home together thing, the church wasn't about brick and mortar. It was about people. And we stayed together as a community during that time, and we did it through Zoom. We did it through Facebook. But why? Because we were a community of people. Now we're trying to, as a community, figure out what's next. How do we keep allowing more people to come? What do we need to do? Church, we need people who will go through the highs and the lows of life with us. We need a community of friends that pray for you and encourage you and always have your back. Amen? Let me take you to Scripture in Acts chapter 2 and see the early church and what kind of community they were. Acts 2 and beginning at verse 42. Now, this happened after the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were added that day, and the church kept growing. But what did the church become? Let's read it, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. Everybody say those first three words. They devoted. Do you understand this wasn't a half-hearted thing they got involved in? They were all in together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In other words, it was this community that was centered around Jesus Christ. It wasn't centered around soccer and basketball and all other kinds of sports. It wasn't centered around neighborhood associations. It wasn't centered around political agendas. It was centered around Jesus Christ and what he had done in their lives. Listen to verse 43. Everyone, everybody say that first word.
Everyone.
Do you think that was inclusive? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Listen to verse 44. All the believers, say that. Notice that they were together and had everything in common. Church, you want to see love? You want to see how love works? Listen to verse 45. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In other words, they were family. They became a church family, a community of believers that said, we don't want people who need something to go without it. Can I say thank you for those who give to our benevolence? It allows us to minister to people and help people. In fact, during the COVID time, we were home, somebody's fridge went out, and we were able to be a part of helping them get a new fridge. It's just the way we operate. I understand some others wouldn't help put a washer and dryer in for somebody, just using their gifts and their abilities. That's how we do it. We're the church. So we care about community, and we should. Listen to verse 46. Every day, did you catch that? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Church, that's a picture of the church worshiping together. And they broke bread in their homes. That's a picture of the church in fellowship together. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of how many people? All the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let me tell you this, you won't just kind of stumble upon a community like that. That kind of community doesn't just happen by accident. A community like that has to be created intentionally by people who are Christ-centered. That's what we want to be here. Christ-centered, building a community of friends that can meet together and pray together and worship together and grow in Christ together and see God adding people to the church because they're getting saved. That's the kind of community we need. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Today I want to give you three things that will help us build that kind of community, a community of godly friends. Now, some of these may sound a little silly when you first hear them, but once you think about it, I think you'll see how this can help us. So are you ready for the first one? You ready? The first one is this. We need pantry friends or refrigerator friends. Yeah, they're going, what are you talking about? Now, I want to think about it for a moment. If someone not part of your family just walked into your house and took your macaroni and cheese out of your pantry and walked out, how would you handle that? Now, what if your mail deliverer, whether male or female, walked into your house, walked up into your refrigerator and took something and left, took your steaks that you were going to have that night? How would that make you feel? Make me feel a little awkward. I don't know about you. Why? Because they don't have that right to do it. But a friend in your community should have that right. Has anyone ever invited a friend over and said, just make yourself at home? You know, put your feet up, eat what you want to eat. How many have ever told people, just make yourself at home, and they don't? Yeah. It's hard for some people to be honest. In fact, most people are kind enough to request or ask if they would like something unless they're a teenager. That That's a good thing. I had six of them. I'm on my last teenager. The rest of them are 20 and older. Wow, y'all are getting old. Yeah, it's good. It's a good thing. Now, most people wouldn't feel comfortable really walking into somebody else's house and going through their pantry or their refrigerator. But if you're a family member or a dear friend, it really changes everything about what you do. And what if we could learn to be that kind of community? Well, let me illustrate it a little bit this morning. Pastor Nate, our children's pastor, is going to help me out. He's bringing my treasure box. Now, amen. This treasure box is my pantry, because my pantry is like a treasure box. I don't know about yours, but mine's really, like, I put stuff in there that I like. Right? And my wife puts stuff in there I don't like. So it's okay. So anyway, would anybody like something from my pantry? Come on up. Come on. Come on up. Yeah, there's three over here. Yeah, come on. Nobody? Balcony? Anybody in balcony like something? Here's the problem with the balcony. I'm just too far away. I'm in my lazy chair. Can somebody bring me something from the pantry? That's kind of the way it is. Okay, y'all just gather around right here. That's good. You don't have to line up. Just gather around. Oh, you're social. That's right. Sorry. Thank you. Is there anybody else who wants something from my pantry? Come on up. Oh, yeah, come on up. All right. Nobody else was any faster. You were about the fastest one to throw your hand up. You were right there on top of it, too. The rest of you are like, oh, somebody else is going to get in the pantry. I will, too. So anyway, here's my pantry. Now, I'm just going to kind of show you now. I'm going to start with these because I'm going to tell you, you thought it was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I do like them. They're in here. But these powdered donuts, I'm telling you, they are so good. And I'm not promoting the brand, but this brand just, I think, does it the best. Hostess is okay. Little Debbie's are okay. But, man, are these good. And I love these. The problem is, I eat the whole box. But there's a reason. That one is a friend of that one, and I don't want to separate them. So I keep them all together, you know? It's just the way you should do it. So anyway, so I like powdered donuts. First service, we did this, and this here was vitamin waters. I love vitamin waters. They have a lot of sugar in them, I'm telling you. There's nothing healthy about them, but I like them. But they took them all. Another one I like, and my staff knows this, I bring these in with me all the time, probably what Gold Peak raspberry tea. Oh, one right now. That's just tempting. These are just really good. Anybody ever have one? They are good. They're smooth. They're really good. Lay's potato chips. Now, there's Fritos and Cheetos in there. They're really good because they're real salty, okay? But I have an affection for Lay's basic potato chips, and please don't get the baked. It's just not the same. But you don't have to eat the whole bag, okay? You can eat half a bag. Let me tell you a story real quick. Remember, I was born with cleft palate. I was born with a speech impediment. And my last surgery was around 12 years old. And for 3 days, I was in the hospital, and all I could have was ice cream and pops, ice pops or whatever, and milk, and it got old real quick. And my mama walked in with a bag of Lay's potato chips. I looked at her, and I couldn't eat them, but I said, "Can I lick it?" And my tongue hit that salt, and they have been my favorite ever since. I just, you know, it's just so good. Of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, when the peanut butter collided with the chocolate, I'm telling you, it was the right thing. Coke may have their thing, it's the real thing, but this is the right thing. I mean, really is. And then, on top of that, Kit Kats. Now, the story about Kit Kats, though, is this. Now, this is my pantry. This was my wife's pantry. She loves Kit Kats. The thing is, I found them. And anyway, they became a favorite of mine now. And so they're really good. Even though they're shareable, you don't have to. No, wait a minute. We're talking about sharing. So anyway, I want you to just come to my pantry, do the best on social distancing. Oh, he's right there. Go. It's yours. And you're going to have to take something from my pantry. You want a Reese's peanut butter cup?
Take one.
All right. Yeah, maybe take one because there's a lot of people. You like those? All right. Y'all don't get in here. You're not. The pantry's going to be empty. Okay. Aren't those good? Okay. What are you going? Yes. Yes. It's really good. She gave it to you. Dad was sitting in his lazy chair. She brought it from the pantry to Dad. How kind. So it's, if we could learn to share what we have. Now for you, it might be a toolbox or a tool shed or a sewing kit. I don't know what it is for you, but let me help you understand. We have a school and the church, but we're one ministry. And when a school buys something, guess what? It belongs to all of us. When the church buys something, it belongs to all of us. We don't go, well, that's my, I'm like, use it. If it breaks, let me know about it so we can fix it and take care of it. But listen, what we have, we share. Otherwise, it's like yours, mine. And I wonder if we could learn to share. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I've been doing some projects around the house, and yesterday I went out to the garage, and I found a tool that I forgot I had, and I got one of those pounders for asphalt, you know, when you fill your hole, and I mean, it like sits in the corner like for a year, and maybe even 2 years, you know, because I don't fix that many potholes in my driveway, but every once in a while. And I own stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you need a tool or this or that, I have a chop saw, it's yours. You're welcome to use it. We'll share. I'm telling you, because a lot of the stuff just sits there. And it doesn't get used. And I'm telling you, we're family. And at some point, what I have is yours. I'm willing to share it. Why do you have to go spend the money when you can borrow mine? It's okay. What if we got to that level where we work together? I do it with other churches. We have those blow-up guys, you know, that do that. I'm like, anytime you churches want to use it, please do. Borrow it, whatever we've got. We just have to be at this place where we learn how to share. We need pantry friends. Listen, you come to my house, anything there, you want in my pantry, you can have it. Just remember, I'm your friend, so when I come to your house, I can have anything I want as well. All right. So let's learn how to share what we have, because I'm telling you, if we can learn to be pantry friends, refrigerator friends, whatever that means to you, you know what I mean. Let's do it. Let me read Acts 2:44. Listen to it. All the believers were together. It had everything in common. What if we were that kind of church? You know what, I was just thinking, Larry, when I first came, I kept borrowing his hedge trimmer, thank you. And I don't know if he got tired of me borrowing it. He was just really kind, and I believe it may have been a Father's Day or something. It was on my birthday. They bought me one for my birthday. I got a hedge trimmer, and I use it once a year. But it's just, thank you. It's that kind of body that we need to be. Listen, how much of heaven is God going to share with us? Have you ever thought about that? He didn't want you, first of all, he didn't want you to miss out on it, so he sent Jesus, his son, to die for you and give his life for you so you could live for eternity with him, so he could share it with you. Listen, I can't wait to see heaven's pantry. What is heaven's refrigerator going to look like? I'm telling you, it's going to be beyond your imagination and your wildest dreams. So we need to learn to share. A second thing to help us build community is something we need to know and understand. It's a little different, and here again, maybe a little bit stated, a little bit silly, but we all have flawed feet. Everybody say that with me. We all have flawed feet. Of course, some more than others. Has anyone in this place besides my family ever seen my feet? You saw my feet? Oh, we're on missions trip. Yeah, anybody else seen my feet? You saw my feet? My feet are white. Like real white. I swim in socks. They've never seen the sun. No, seriously, I don't swim in socks. I just don't swim. That's the bottom line of it. I keep them covered. It's just something I do. One thing, my toenails are not real, real pretty. If I wore sandals, I don't wear sandals. If I do, I'd be socks and sandals, you know, in fact, since my accident with my ankle, my big toe here, and whatever this next toe is over here, something happened in the midst of it all, and now this toe, this big toe squishes this toe down, and it's kind of sideways, and I got flawed feet. That's just the way it is. But my point is this. Let me put it this way. There's things in my life that nobody knows about. There's history that probably never needs to be discussed. There are mistakes that probably never need to be brought up. And like all of us, we have flaws in our lives. In fact, if everybody in here probably really looked at your feet, they're not ready for modeling, you know? It's just not how we live. Listen to Romans 15:7. It says this, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, Paul wrote these words. If you read the chapter, he wrote them in context of a community and how we are to treat one another. As a community of friends, we are to accept each other, flawed feet and all. Paul actually says, though, when we do this, when we accept one another, it actually brings praise to God. Church, when we love one another in the right way, it brings praise to God. There's an amazing story in the Old Testament about a man named Mephibosheth. Everybody say Mephibosheth. That was close enough. He had an accident as a young boy, and he ended up crippled in both feet. 2 Samuel 4:4 tells us the story. Saul's son, Jonathan, you remember Jonathan from last week, one of David's friends. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled, but as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. Because of that, Mephibosheth would have been rejected by society. As a crippled man in that time, he would have to beg for his survival. But I want you to see how King David accepted Mephibosheth. Let me share a bit of the story from 2 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 3 says, the king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show whose kindness? God's kindness. You got to remember, when you do something like this, it needs to be God through you. Anyway, Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan." Remember, they're friends. "I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." But I want you to hear about how Mephibosheth felt about this. Verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Mephibosheth is, I can do nothing to help. I can't, I look at me. I'm crippled. I'm flawed. But that's not what David saw. David accepted Mephibosheth. And listen to what happened in verse 9. Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson," that's Mephibosheth, "everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so your master's grandson may be provided for." Now I want you to hear verse 13. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. It might have been that society rejected him, but the king accepted him, and he got to always eat at the king's table. Guess what? We all have flawed feet. But when you're at the king's table, guess what you do not see? You don't see your feet, because they're covered by the table of the king. Listen, your mistakes, your past, your flawed feet are not revealed when you're at King Jesus' table. Understand, as believers, when we have come to Jesus with our flawed feet, he puts them under the table of the Lord. And if we could understand that if King Jesus has accepted us and forgiven us, then we need to accept and forgive each other the same way. And you know what will happen if we do it? It will bring praise to God. Listen to Romans 15:7 again. "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." So as a community of friends, we need pantry friends, and we need to understand we all have flawed feet, and that means we accept each other no matter what. And then one more thought for today, and that's this. We all fight lions. Like it or not, as a Christian community, we fight lions. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Stay alert." See that exclamation point? Take it to heart. Stay alert. "Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Now, I've heard it preached, and it preaches in some ways that he's just a roaring lion. But church, I want you to catch the part where it says, looking for someone to devour. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen it happen. He goes after those who are weak, and he tries to pick you off, like the lions who prey on the weak. That's why he says he's like that, because he preys on the weak. And we have this enemy who's just trying to see, how strong are you going to be? How well are you going to be able to walk out your Christian walk? But I want you to know something, that we are better together. As a community, we are stronger if we stay together and help each other and be careful to not leave somebody behind. Let me show you a quick video clip here that might illustrate it for us. are better together. Now, I know there's a little humor in all of that, but it illustrates how we can be stronger if we'll work together. Otherwise, we leave the wand and say, well, that's his fault. He got into that position. Why don't we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, not only accept them, but let's fight the lions with them. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. But I want you also to know in Romans 8:31 it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Church, you need to know that when we come here, this is not a game. We don't come to church to be entertained. We come to experience the presence of God. We come to learn His Word. We come to find fellowship in the community and strength together. Listen, God was the one who instituted what is called the church, with the ecclesia, the called out ones. Because we can be better together as a community of friends who really love one another. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Pastor James, Abby, would you come back and join me? Church, it's about time that we prove who we are, that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're going to begin to share our pantries. We're going to share who we are, our giftings, and helping one another. And we understand all of us have flawed feet somewhere, but we accept one another. And we know we have a common enemy. So we need to stand together as friends. Listen, God is a relational God. Jesus was known as a friend to sinners. He would hang around the worst of the worst, but he wouldn't leave them there. And he's not going to leave you where you are. Why? Because we're a community. And we're going to call out each other and help each other grow, because we're going to be godly friends in each other's lives. We need each other. And today, maybe if you're not part of the family of God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I invite you to accept Him as your Savior today. Make Jesus Lord of your life. In fact, if that's you this morning, you can pray this with me. And maybe we all just pray it together and just solidify it in our hearts and say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my mistakes. I ask You to be Lord of my life. Give me Your Holy Spirit and help me know You more. And give me the community of friends I need to help me follow You faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, church, we're going to keep growing together as a family. And we're going to be godly friends in our friendship. I want us to love like Jesus told us to love, so this world knows who we are. Amen? Once again, I want to ask our dads to stand first, all of our fathers. Men, I'm calling you out because it's Father's Day, and I'm not to be rude about this, but you are the man of the house. Lead your home. You lead your family. In a few moments, we're going to sing this song again because I want to bless you. I want to see God bless you and make His face to shine upon you and turn His face toward you and give you peace. Think about that. God looks at you. But I want us to do that. Why? Because I want your family to be blessed. And I want your children to be blessed. And I want their children to be blessed. And their children to be blessed. Because we have a heritage of faith push forward. Would all my men stand? Come on, if you're a man, a male in the place. Can I be honest with you? We've got an identity problem going on in our world today. I'm telling you, God made you who you are. Rise up and be who God made you to be. Now I'm going to invite everybody to stand with these. Why? Because I want every home blessed. Men, take the role that you're supposed to roll. Now listen, leadership is not lordship. Leadership means you lead the way. Don't dictate the way. There's a big difference. You lead. But we're going to sing this blessing. And I want you to sing it as Moses would have been speaking over you. The Lord speaking a blessing. Because I believe God wants to do this. The Lord keep you, bless you,
and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord
turn your face
toward you, and give
sing it again.
Lord bless you. The Lord bless you
and keep you.
And keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you.
Declare it with an amen. Say,
oh,
amen. Yes. So be it. We declare it. The blessing of the Lord from generation to generation. That kind of favor and blessing of the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. I want you to know this blessing can be true in your life. I'm second generation Christian. My mom and dad really didn't grow up in strong Christian homes. There's church, but they didn't go to church. Dad got sent to church, but he fell away from God and had a traumatic transformation moment right downriver in a revival right here in Michigan where my dad got saved. Transformed his life. Met my mom 2 weeks later, they got married. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't suggest it. They're both believers, though. They had raised 3 boys who were all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their family and then their children and their children. And now we have the next generation of their children coming for me. Church, we're going to live it out. We're going to walk it out because I don't want to see your children. I didn't want to see my children lost. I don't want to see your children lost. And I don't want to see their children lost because I'm telling you, the Lord is a blesser, but we live under His rule. Why? Because His rule is righteousness and it keeps you in the family. Amen. Listen, I love you, and I know the social distancing thing one day is going to be done, and we're going to hug, and man, we're going to be family like we should be, but I also want to be wise. When my wife is sick, I'm like, stay away from me, you know? So we're going to be wise in all of this, but listen, I love you, and I'm so glad that I'm part of this family. I love you. Listen, the Lord bless you. Keep you and make His face to shine upon you. May He turn His countenance towards you. If you go study that, I mean, His countenance is His glory, turns towards you and give you peace. Amen? So, have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you. On your way out, there are Krispy Kreme donuts. If you don't eat them now, heat them up later. Share them with a friend. God bless you.